good friend of the program, good dude overall, Nate Kreckman from Altitude Sports Radio, 92.5 in Denver. Nate, how are you, my man?
Hey, Nate.
I am great, Scotty and Hans. How you guys doing?
Very good.
Very good. So no Donovan Mitchell, no Mike Conley, but still the Jazz a four-point favorite. What do you make out of that?
I make out of that that the Nuggets are missing their top four guards in this game. I mean, you talk about your guard injuries there with Utah. Jamal Murray, you know, the torn ACL that happened a couple of weeks ago, although the team really hasn't skipped a beat, 9-2 since then. But ever since that went down, Monte Morris hurt his hamstring. He remains out for tonight. Will Barton suffered a hamstring injury. He remains out, and he's going to be out for a while. And then P.J. Dozier ended up, who moved into the starting five. P.J. Dozier has a right adductor thing, and he is now going to be out for a while. So you will watch a Nuggets lineup tonight with Facundo Campazzo as their starting point guard, a guy who is a fun story, but in reality was like the number seven guard on this team when the season started and is now the starting point guard. And then, I don't know, I guess Paul Millsap's the two guard. It's Mike Malone's just sort of making it up now.
Well, as you mentioned, they continue to keep stride, and they were able to beat New York. Was Barton out at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Will Barton is he's been out for a couple of weeks here now. So, yeah, it's been brutal. They started Millsap in the starting five the other night. So I guess technically it was Michael Porter Jr. is, if we're going to worry about positions, I would say Porter was the two, Gordon the three, Millsap the four was kind of the thing they had going on in the starting lineup. But, no, their backcourt is absolutely decimated right now.
So, with that said, you're still this is still a team that's won 10 out of the last 12 games.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of wrote them off after the Murray injury, but they still win games. Does that just go to show that when you've got the soon-to-be-named MVP on your team, you can still win a lot of games despite all those injuries?
Yeah, Nikola Jokic is unbelievable, and he is just carrying this team on his back right now. I mean, that game against the Knicks the other night, they were up by 22 at the end of the first quarter. Jokic had 24 points in the first. I mean, it was over. Finished 32-12-6. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter of that game. So, yeah, Jokic is absolutely carrying this team. Michael Porter Jr. has gone to another level offensively and has just become a very, very dependable scorer on this team. And without Jamal Murray, he's become much more dangerous, working out of pick and roll situations, working off the dribble. And that's been fun to see. And then, they made the Austin Rivers move sort of out of desperation. He's been okay so far for this team. They're just sort of staying afloat, but largely it speaks to the greatness of Jokic.
Hey, just put it down. Austin Rivers will go for about 25 to 28 points tonight because whenever he plays for the Jazz, he has a big game.
He went for 25 the other night against the Knicks, and that was good to see because he had kind of a rough one against the Lakers in the game before that. Yeah, Austin Rivers is he's a good pro. He was a nice addition for this team, but again, it spoke to the desperation the front office ran into when all of the guards started getting hurt. And I mean, you look at it right now, this game tonight, this is the second game of a 3-game and 4-night stretch that they're dealing with. So the schedule has been absolutely brutal. The Nuggets are just trying to white knuckle this thing to the finish and hope they make it to the playoffs intact.
Great, the Aaron Gordon acquisition since he's arrived in Denver.
It's funny because he was great offensively at first. Like, he seamlessly fit in. And I think he was really comfortable playing off ball with the Murray and Jokic pick and roll. What's weird is, since Murray has gone down, Gordon has kind of disappeared offensively. His offensive game has really suffered here of late. Now, defensively, he's still been terrific for this team, which has been really, really good to see. He drew some of the Julius Randle assignment the other night against the Knicks, held Randle to 14 points, one of his worst games in a long, long time. So Gordon has been excellent defensively for this team, but his offense has really been hit or miss. And, you know, we expected some of that because anytime you make a jump to a very different kind of team, I mean, you think about Orlando and Denver, it doesn't get really much different than that. You know, it's going to be a little bit rocky, but he was excellent at first and now he's really cooled off. And this has been a story. Mike Malone has talked about it. Aaron Gordon has to get himself back on track offensively. They desperately, desperately need it.
Does Jokic like this matchup against Gobert? Is that something he looks forward to?
I think he loves it. Yeah, I think this is a matchup he really likes. I think Rudy likes it too. I think they like going at each other. You know, he went for 47 last time out against him, but this has been an excellent back and forth rivalry over the years. But no, man, Nikola gets up for the big games and certainly gets up for this matchup. I think he enjoys it. I think he likes how physical it is. I think he likes that, you know, Rudy really forces him into having to dig deeper into his bag of tricks. And man, that bag of tricks is deep. It is just unbelievable how good this guy has gotten.
Paul Millsap is one of those rare Utah Jazz players that when he comes back into the arena, he's not booed or jeered. He's actually applauded and loved. People love him here. Is Paul Millsap, is he continuing to give you what you need from Paul? I know that you mentioned they put him into the starting five, but really is a bench guy for Denver when everybody's healthy. Is he giving you what you need?
You know, Paul's got old man game going these days. He's got some serious old man game out there. He's very much become a below the rim player. Defensively, he will still give it to you. And there's, you know, once out of, you know, a dozen games or so, he'll just rain threes unexpectedly out of nowhere. But Paul Millsap is the sage, crafty veteran at this stage of his basketball life. He's a little hit or miss, but Malone loves him. He's massively respected inside the locker room. It's the shame of all of these injuries right now is, like, we should be living in a world where, you know, you're getting 20 to 22 Paul Millsap minutes a night, and you can live with that. Right now they need a little bit more, and that's when it gets tough. He's getting up there, you know.
How much of the success with all the injuries that the Nuggets have dealt with this year, how much credit should be given towards Mike Malone and his ability to juggle this lineup?
I think he deserves a lot of credit. It's funny because, you know, the Jokic MVP debate, it takes up so much oxygen. And, you know, here's my thing about the MVP conversation. You can talk about guys that want to be in the MVP conversation all you want, but only one guy deserves the award. That's Jokic. Now, the coach of the year thing, you know, Phoenix, New York, there have been some teams that have had unexpectedly good seasons, and their coaches are getting the requisite amount of attention right there. My whole thing is just keep Malone in the conversation, especially with the way that they have survived the Jamal Murray injury and the glut of injuries that have followed it. I think Malone's done a wonderful job with this team. I'm saying this in Denver. Not every Nuggets fan is going to agree with me because people love to gripe about coaches. But I think Malone has done a masterful job with this team. A lot of other teams would have gotten buried, but I think largely it's been Jokic and Malone have kept this thing going.
We got the Suns taking on New York tonight, and obviously the Utah Jazz are continuing to fight for the one seed, and they've got Denver tonight, and it's going to be a really tough matchup. They need this win. I think it's a very important win for them. Now, I'm trying to identify the importance of this win for Denver. How desperate are they for this win? How badly do they need it to either maintain or move a spot or avoid a team? How badly do they need this game tonight?
This is the good news, is right now the Nuggets are at the four seed and they're six games up on Dallas at the five. They're almost locked into home court advantage. Beyond that, it's so funny. The argument that we had on our show this week has been, do the Nuggets actually want the Lakers in the first round? They played in LA the other night. Anthony Davis had his best game as a Laker since he has returned from his injury. And Marcus Gasol, for whatever reason, Marcus Gasol, of all dudes, gives Jokic problems. And it's just a tough matchup, and the Nuggets lose that game in L.A. But since that time, they've had to, you know, again, they're saying LeBron is going to be a little bit longer. They're being more and more careful with Davis. So the question is, do the Nuggets actually want the Lakers in the opening round or not? The Lakers are pretty close to almost being locked in as a six, so it's like, okay, do we want Denver to get up to three to hop L.A., to hop the Clippers and get to three and then get a first-round matchup against the Lakers, or are the Lakers just nugget kryptonite? That's what I can't really figure out right now, because right now you're looking at a 4-5 series against Dallas, and I think the Nuggets match up really well against Dallas, believe it or not. But the Lakers, because of how compromised they might be by injury, may be the better matchup. The Nuggets have just never proved that that's actually the better matchup.
So this is an interesting conversation because we're having the same in regards to Golden State and the 1-8, or do you want to go to two? Because here's the and maybe we here in Salt Lake are a little bit more paranoid than you guys in Denver, but there's a lot of concern that if you play Golden State in the first round, you have TV networks, Adam Silver, everybody that's going to be actively rooting against you, against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. They don't want that team to be one and done in the playoffs. And so I would assume the same thing with the Lakers in Denver. I mean, you got an MVP in Denver, but everybody's going to want LeBron to go as far as he can. And then you start to think, well, you know, how's that going to turn out in terms of calls and things like that? So there's that same kind of conversation going on here in Salt Lake City, too.
See, I love this, guys. This is Mountain Time Zone kindred spirits right here. This is the same stuff that we gripe about all the time here in Denver, and it's only you guys understand it, right?
You know it.
Yeah, we have this conversation constantly, and yeah, Steph Curry is the better televised product than Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Even though I love watching Donovan Mitchell, I don't really care about that stuff. But hey, it's a coast league. We know that is the case, and you know, we're the two flyover cities here in the Forgotten Time Zone. So we have these conversations all the friggin' time here in Denver. It's so funny that you bring that up. It's of course, they lose in L.A. the other night. And, you know, at the end of the game, the voice of the Nuggets, Jason Kosminski, I mean, his final call was literally the L.A. TV market Lakers defeat the Nuggets tonight. 93-89. It's just like, yep, that's how we view this stuff.
I'm curious to know what's going on in your arena right now with fan attendance and just the, because obviously coming into Denver Arena, you're going to get 6,900 fans tonight.
Nice.
Where is Denver with fan allotment, and where do you expect them to be through postseason?
I think it, right now it's just a little bit north of 4,000. I don't know exactly what the number is. It's like roughly like a 15 or 16% capacity, something like that. So, yeah, they're just a little bit north of 4,000 in the building right now. Currently, the Rockies are, you know, our baseball team, the Rockies are there just, I think, right around 20,000 capacity right now, but we're going to get the All-Star game here in Denver this summer, and it is, you know, it was said as soon as it was moved from Atlanta to Denver that they wanted to have full capacity there. So that's been the conversation about what's going on with the ball club right now with the Rockies. But then again, that's outdoors. You know, indoors at Ball Arena, the Nuggets and the Avalanche, our NHL team, are both sitting around 4,000. I have not heard the latest on plans to get that bumped up. I am sure, without a doubt, they want to get that knocked up a little bit there for the postseason. But, these kind of things tend to be a little bit tight-lipped, and we don't really find out until exactly when they do it. But, yeah, just a little bit north of 4,000 in the building right now, but we still get some good Jokic MVP chance.
So I've waited 13 minutes in this interview to ask you this question.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get a little selfish here. Starting quarterback for the Broncos week one will be who?
Teddy Bridgewater, probably.
I thought you were gonna say Aaron Rodgers. I thought you were gonna say Aaron Rodgers, and I was gonna step in.
I want it to be Aaron Rodgers. If I'm a betting man right now, my money is on Bridgewater. This is all we've talked about on our show.
Oh, I'm sure.
It is as the Aaron Rodgers world turns. We have spent an awful lot of time on this for whatever reason. The Broncos passed on Justin Fields in the draft, maybe because they think they're going to be able to pull down Aaron Rodgers. I was pretty disappointed with that move by the Broncos not to bring in Justin Fields to try and get a franchise quarterback. They do the Teddy Bridgewater thing, which, whatever, fine, Teddy Bridgewater. He makes fewer mistakes than Drew Locke. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I hope it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I hope the power of Aaron's spite is enough to get him out of Green Bay. But there is a whole ton of factors working against the possibility of that trade going down. It's not to say we're not dreaming about it, but it just doesn't feel it doesn't feel like something you would bet on.
I know you know Scotty, and we had a really unfortunate event happen just before the draft. Here's the audio.
If Justin Fields is on the board at 9 and Denver goes a different direction and goes defense, Lloyd,
come on over to the Raiders, my man.
Let's go.
He quit?
Yeah, he quit. He's got a Raiders tattoo.
I said, let's go to break, is what I meant
to
say.
No, he said, let's go. He's now a Raiders fan.
He's already committing crimes.
He's already putting eyeliner on, supporting Carr.
That was my nightmare scenario, that Fields would be on the board at 9 and Denver would do something stupid, and they did it.
It's just the lamest pick. It's just so boring. And look, I think Surtain's a good player. Like, it's nothing against the player. It's just, it was safe. It was, hey, let me do Vic Fangio a solid. Nothing about it screamed bold initiative by this organization to go and get a dude with all the upside in the world. I fell in love with Justin Fields through the draft process. I think they wanted Trey Lance, but the Niners got him at number 3. Yeah, just it was a lame pick on the part of the Broncos. But, you know, that's been the Broncos for the better part of, 6 years now. Is, quite honestly, they're pretty lame.
Well put. Well put indeed. Nate, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight, and look forward to catch up again here real soon.
Thanks, Nate.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Nate Kreckman, Altitude Sports Radio there in Denver.